the podcast with everything paranormal. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, me and her.
Hey, that crazy dude over there.
Hello.
It's Joe Shorty. It's your birthday.
Not really. It was your birthday.
It was my birthday. We're going to party like it's my birthday.
Happy 222, everyone.
Yes, 222 day. Whoop, whoop. It was an exciting day. I saw 222 like four times on license plates that day. Not exaggerating, because I had to work on my birthday, but...
Well, yeah.
Oh, well. I took Monday off. I had a long weekend, so I ended up working on my birthday, which was a Wednesday, hump day. Hump day!
Yeah. Once in every 4 years or something, my birthday falls on the weekend.
Isn't that weird how that happens, like, with the calendar? I don't know.
It's so weird.
It's so strange.
Weird.
Just be glad you're not like on leap day or something. And
no, I'd be half my age.
Oh yeah, you act it.
Oh well, yeah, you're only as old as you act.
That's right. 27.
Yeah. So besides your birthday, what did you
oh
do?
My gosh! So
what
you
did
know,
you do?
I'm so excited. I've been going to my ghost hunting class at Owens Community College, and it's so exciting. Oh my gosh! I learned a couple of things that I didn't know. You know, we talk about our shows and ghosts and paranormal, but there's just so much more to learn. And it was interesting.
So is Harold as bad as he says he was?
Oh my gosh, he is not. He's very engaging, and I'm learning a lot. And he's got some nice presentation. And
when he said that, I was like, "Come on!" You know, I've seen him talk. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is. He's very knowledgeable. He does talk very fast. I told me he had to slow it down because the interpreters, we have a deaf guy in the group who was amazing, and he just loves everything paranormal. Yeah. And he has interpreters in there, and they have to sign really fast because Harold talks real fast like this. But it's great. It's great. The rest of the group, Butch and Michelle and Becky, have presented, and I'm like learning something new every week. It's awesome.
You know, that brings up a good idea. A lot of our equipment that we use and a lot of our stuff that we use all rely on sound, you know, and
that's what I was thinking about. Like if somebody wanted to listen to our podcast but didn't have hearing abilities, then do they put it through a machine that spells words out for them?
What it does is if you have your iPod,
yeah,
you just put your fingers over the top of it and you can read it with Braille.
No,
but think about this. With the guy being deaf, all his other senses are heightened.
Yeah.
So when he goes out on a ghost hunt or an investigation, he's relying on all his other senses. And we rely on sound and sight and everything. But opens up a whole new realm.
Yeah,
definitely.
Does he have extra special abilities?
Well, all the rest of your senses get heightened.
Sure.
So that's something interesting. That'd be something. We should get Harold in and talk about that.
Yeah, we need to, because he was mentioning the other day, just throwing out random thoughts about why some people see spirits and other people don't. And he thought maybe it was like a spectrum of light that somebody, you know, if their vision is like little kids have different vision than we do. Our vision changes as we get older and they're more sensitive to ultraviolet.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the reason that they could be seeing spirits.
It's possible.
I don't know. But he had a really interesting theory on it. And I forget because, you know, I've had like 8 million things going on this week.
Yeah.
But the class has been great and very interesting people in there. They all are just really passionate about ghost hunting. And I can't wait to hear everybody's story. Because, you know, if you take that class, you probably have had some kind of experience with a spirit or a ghost. And I like to hear people's stories, you know. And you'll be there next week.
Yeah, because we're leaving for Gettysburg that night.
Yep. And right after the class, we're driving.
Right after. Driving it.
Getting on the expressway.
Driving at night.
Yeah. Which will be interesting because, you know, I get in the car, and if I'm the passenger, I'm always falling asleep.
I know.
I'll try to stay awake.
I ordered through Toledo Library. Mm-hmm. I ordered a audiobook called Smoke Gets in Your Eye.
Yeah. What's it about?
It's a stories from the crematorium.
Oh my god.
I listened to it before, and Caitlin Doty is the author.
We have to get her on.
Yeah, but you'd have to put me in a box away or duct tape me to the chair.
Yes.
She's like, that would be the ultimate guest for me right now. It's like, Kaylin Doughty's here. But she's awesome. She has a thing on YouTube, mm-hmm. Ask the Mortician, that I watch all the time. It's so interesting.
I have to watch. I have not seen it yet.
But you'll like the book. It's so interesting.
Okay. Yeah,
so we'll that's what I did all week, is basically get ready for the trip. I worked on the car and, mm-hmm. or, you know, my Ford Edge, big enough to hold Marshall's sack, Joe, in the back.
You're edgy. Yes. Yeah. We're taking all our merchandise and our equipment, and we're going on the road, and we're going to see some ghosts, hopefully. And we're going to, what is the name of the convention? Paramericon.
Paramericon,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
where,
like,
women shine.
And it's in a, like 1863.
It's called the 1863 Hotel. I don't know why it's called that.
And your furnace just kicked on.
Yeah, you'll hear
that. Wasn't paranormal.
Yeah, the furnace kicked on because it was 74 yesterday, mm-hmm. I think. And today it's snowing.
We went through like four seasons within 24 hours. We had spring, like, yeah, temperatures in the morning. It was like summer in the afternoon. Then at night, it was like, I don't know, where I work, it started about 3 o'clock. It turned black as midnight, and it was hailing. Then it was raining. Then it was like winds so high. And then this morning we woke up and it's snowing.
Yeah. I had all the windows open in the house. Had the air flowing through yesterday. I put Mr. Cactus outside.
Nice.
And today it's snowing.
You got to keep your cactuses happy, Joe.
He's leaning over. I can't grab it and straighten it up.
Yeah, no, you can't. You need some fresh dirt or something.
A bigger pot.
Maybe that's it.
Need some pot, man.
Dude. Feed your pig some pot. If you listen to one of our past shows, you'll get that joke. Okay, so.
Got any good news?
I got a good one for you. All right. Here's one from Florida.
All right. Is there Walmart involved?
There is.
I know. I printed it out.
Joe, he does all my info here. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. A Brooksfield man was arrested after police said he swung two swords at customers in the parking lot of the Hernando County Walmart. Police responded to a weapons disturbance at the Walmart on Broad Street. The store manager had called to report a person was swinging swords. Swinging swords towards customers in the parking lot. When officers arrived, they found Shannon Lon Schenack.
Where do they get these names?
I have no idea. It's always a three name.
Yeah, it's always these bizarro names. Yeah.
With two swords on him. And he appeared to be under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
No.
Alcohol. The investigation, the police officers discovered Schenick was in a fighting stance and unsheathed his swords while approaching customers getting out of their cars. He had marijuana and a glass pipe with him. Let's see. He was charged with two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of marijuana, three counts of possessions of a weapon by a convicted felon, and also for being a douchebag. Imitating a samurai is a felony in Florida.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Cha.
So... Huh. If you want some excitement, people in your life, just go hang out at Walmart and check out people with swords.
That's what Rodney does.
I know.
Rodney posts live videos all the time of him sitting in Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, people go to Rodney Shortridge's Facebook page. He's another paranormal investigator. He has his own show called Within the Chaos. And he does live from Walmarts. And he's hilarious. Hilarious. Speaking of hilarious, Joe, did you have anything?
No, actually, I have.
You how?
I have to learn to speak properly. I ain't got no. I've got a story here. It's, you know, I'm into space and all that.
Mm-hmm.
NASA has found a solar system 40 light years from us, which is only 235 trillion miles away from us, that actually has 7 planets in it.
Shut up.
I think it's three. Yeah, I'm going to say three if I'm wrong. Hey, sue me. Three planets are within the habitable zone.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're not so cold that they're an ice planet, and they're not mm-hmm. so hot that they can't have liquid water. So these planets are rocky planets. that have water on them.
You're Adrian.
And they feel they feel that they could have life.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, like, it's like an alternate universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there could be some men on there.
Yeah.
My future husband. Of course, yeah, my luck. He's 18 billion light years away.
It's only 40 light years, Jen. 40 light years away. That's nothing compared.
I don't want to wait.
But if you want to look it up.
Okay.
If you want to look it up and look up your husband,
mm-hmm.
it's called the TRAPPIST-1 is the name of the system. So look it up on YouTube.
Can you see it like with a giant telescope?
Yeah, that's what they did. They in May of 2016, a telescope in Chile saw it. And they recognized that there were planets around the sun. And they used other, like the Spitzer telescope, mm-hmm. and it actually confirmed that there are habitable planets.
That's going to be kind of one of those shows today.
They have habitable life on them. But, hey, they may have life. I mean, everything is there for life that we know it.
Have you ever been to University of Toledo and looked in there through their telescope? They have a giant telescope, don't they?
Yeah, the 1 meter telescope we got to look at. And
I've never been there.
I went there and I was all excited because we were going to be able to look at the giant telescope.
Yeah.
And we looked at what's called a star cluster,
uh-huh.
which is just stars next to each other. It was so boring.
Oh.
I was like, really? I want to see Saturn. I want to see stuff. So then we got the opportunity to go up there and look at their other telescope and see Mars. And I'm like, awesome. Finally, I can see a planet. I mean, I've got my 4-inch telescope and my 8-inch telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And I need new eyepieces for them. But anyhow, we get there. It was cold out.
Mm-hmm.
We're up on the roof of the university.
Uh-huh.
And we're waiting and waiting. Finally, Mars came up,
mm-hmm.
and we got the telescope and looked at it and looked the exact same as what I see through my telescopes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I wanted to see a planet. I want to see Saturn.
Yeah.
I looked at Jupiter through my big telescope, and I could actually see the colors of the atmosphere and stuff.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
That's very cool.
So another thing that happened in 222 history is today, as we're recording, February 25th, 1942, was the Battle of L.A.
What is that? In 1942? I don't remember a battle in L.A.
Battle of L.A. Three people died in the battle.
What happened?
What happened? It was air raid sirens went off. Okay, so back then they had anti-aircraft guns and stuff on the beaches in L.A.
Okay, so 1942 would have been, is that in World War II time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they saw an object flying over, and they actually did a full-scale attack on it.
No way.
And they believe that it was a UFO. And there's a famous picture that somebody took of all the spotlights converging on this object that they're all shooting at. And in the picture, you can actually see it's a UFO.
Wow. I've never seen that before. I gotta look that up.
Yeah, look it up. It's a Battle of LA. Happened this week. It happened last night at 1 a.m. in 1942.
It's interesting because, you know, our show topic is intelligent haunting. I wonder if there was any type of maybe residual or intelligent haunting that happens, you know, at the same time of every single year at that same time. So
every single year, but we talked about last week in the residual haunting. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think something like that would, because it happens and they do a reenactment every year of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking like, you know, because we're going to Gettysburg and like, because it's an anniversary, if the spirits or the entities would come back and try to like relive that.
Well, that happens in Gettysburg all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you have the reenactments going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard stories of people that during the reenactments, they see people that, you know, they're like, hey, when did he join or when? And come to find out it wasn't.
Well, that would be an intelligent haunting then, because they're
interacting.
With, mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about a little bit about what our show topic is today. We'll get off this rabbit hole.
Yeah, we've been babbling for what, 20 minutes now?
Oh, 15 minutes, 37 seconds. I'm on the controls today, everybody. So just bear with me. Joe usually does all the technical stuff, and I just sit here and babble. All right, so Joey, intelligent hauntings. Let's talk about it. Tell us what it is.
I don't know anything about it. Oh. I'm not intelligent enough to know. No.
All right, well.
Well, we talked about.
I'll give you a little bit of. Go ahead.
It's basically the complete opposite of what we talked about last week, so go.
Okay, so just in definition, in general definition, an intelligent haunting is where a ghost or a spirit or entity will interact with the present. It's intelligent in that it may communicate or with somebody or interfere with people, living people on the earthly plane. Okay, so it could be that the disembodied person has elected, maybe for some reason, to stay here to either communicate with a person or a place or a thing. It sometimes happens due to a spirit's compelling need to deliver a message from the other side or from its grave, or maybe to watch over a loved one. It also says that it has like an attachment to possibly like a memory or something traumatic that happened, a tragedy, an emotional tie to somebody, long lost love.
Exactly.
You know, maybe it hasn't realized that it's passed on yet.
I've heard that a lot. You know, people see the same thing and they're like, the ghost is trying to help someone, or it's asking for help, or something.
A lot of times it's a message.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, we've talked about this on the other shows, but when my neighbor lady who passed away, she was in her 90s, she showed up in my bedroom one night. I don't know if maybe she was trying to tell me something, like she was okay and she was moving on, because I was really sad that she passed on, but we weren't close. I only talked to her a couple times, but why would she pick my bedroom to show up in and just stand there? And I'm like,
well, maybe.
And then I felt bad.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't say anything to her. I was just shocked.
I wonder if in her mind, she knew that you were worried about her or upset or something. Mm-hmm. And that brings up a good point too, is with the intelligent hauntings, they keep coming back to these people to do exactly what you just said, you know.
Say goodbye
or say I'm okay or something like that. I'm wondering if they can read your mind. And I know we talked about this before, but can they read your mind?
I think certain situation, I mean, if you had a connection with somebody, even when you're living, sometimes you have that connection. You know what they're thinking. So why wouldn't that pass on after?
And that exactly happened with me and Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
We were psychic friends. We knew what was going on, even though she was miles away.
Right. You guys had that really, you just like, you would go to call her and she would be dialing you.
Yeah, that happened so many times. But with intelligent hauntings, the research that I've done, it's almost like they are, we know there's tons of different types of hauntings, but this one seems like they're trying to interact with people to get a message across. It's not something where, like poltergeist, where they're trying to scare you or stuff like that. It's more to me, from what I get out of it, is the message thing.
And sometimes they just like to be in your company.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have some big something to tell you. It could just be that they just want to hang out. They're just comfortable with.
Just want to hang.
Yeah, hanging with the homies. But one thing I was going to mention, and I just lost my train of thought,
That's always good for recording a show.
Especially,
do that a lot.
I know. Listen, we do what we can do, right?
Well, I have a story here that I listened to another podcast, and it just came up yesterday in the podcast, and I was like, wait a minute, we're talking about this, which happens a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of our stuff that we talk about, all of a sudden it's on different podcasts. It's like, is the universe telling all us podcasters to talk about the same? I think the universe is telling us what to talk about.
Maybe.
But anyhow, in 1940 in Cambria, Australia, which is their capital.
Okay.
So this was 1940. A plane crashed into the side of a hill or a mountain, whatever. And it was in the wintertime, of course, because it's always a dark, stormy night.
Yes.
So
it was a dark and stormy night.
It was a dark and stormy night in Cambridge, Australia. I'll change accents.
I might.
And this plane crashed into the side of the mountain or the hill. I don't know what it was, probably, we'll say a mountain because it's more dramatic.
Okay.
It was a dark, stormy night in 1940 in Cambridge, Australia. A plane crashed into the side of a mountain. And since then, people have seen airmen running through the woods on fire.
Oh my God. It's always a nice. Flaming airmen.
Flaming airmen.
Not that kind of flaming.
And they've heard propeller sounds like an airplane flying over. They've heard screaming.
Oh my gosh.
But the really neat thing is when people drive past there, they see a nurse running through the woods. And this nurse actually interacts with cars that drive by. They have had several reports of the nurse actually running up to the cars and pounding on the cars, trying to get into the cars.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. One couple was driving down the road and they thought they hit something in the road. So they pulled over. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they said that there was a lady pounding on their car, trying to get in their car. So they freaked out and drove away,
mm-hmm.
called the cops. The cops came out. There were marks all over the sides of their car, obviously showing like handprints and scrape marks and all that of somebody trying to get in the car. The cops went back to the scene where this happened, mm-hmm. and they could see the marks in the snow where the car pulled over, but there was no footprints around the car.
Ooh,
so freaky. That brings up a couple of things. Okay, it's an intelligent haunting, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It has enough form to leave marks on the car, but it didn't leave any marks on the ground. That's so weird.
Wow.
Think about that. Yeah. Folks. Ponder that.
Ooh. You know, I was thinking about something. So when I had my experience and, you know, twice, once at Mansfield Prison when I saw that full body apparition,
mm-hmm.
and then the lady in my bedroom, I had that static charge electrical feeling.
Oh, I've had okay? that.
Okay. But I'm just wondering and throwing this out there, do you get that feeling when it's residual or only when it's intelligent?
I don't know.
How?
I've never heard of anybody that's seen residual hauntings.
Have that
feeling.
Yeah, because it was just like, you know, one of the signs of an intelligent haunting is, you know, you have that goosebumps okay. feeling. And, you know, then it could be like moving objects, opening and closing doors, you know, strange sounds. And also, you know, messing with your electrical devices, which happened to us.
Yeah.
Many times.
Oh, yeah.
In our short, you know, ghost hunting experiences. But, you know, it just seems like every time.
That makes total sense, though, because we're all made of energy, as we said mm-hmm. before, and the spirits need the energy. And when you feel that tingling charge, that's like an energy.
Which is interesting because last night when I was driving home from work, we're having this huge storm. Okay, so it was like severe thunderstorms, possible tornado watch, but it was super warm out. So I'm driving home and it was like, I think I left at like 5:30. So it'd probably be about 6 p.m. in the evening. The skies over Lake Erie were completely pitch black
mm-hmm.
and it was lightning and it was racing through the clouds. I mean, you could see it and I had my window down. I was going down I-75, which is like the main expressway going from Michigan to Ohio all the way down to Florida. But I could feel that and I was getting almost not a panic attack, but very it was between like being agitated, having a panic attack yeah. and extreme nervousness. And I think it was because the electricity was so mm-hmm. thick in the air.
I was just going to say that.
It was scary. I was like, I almost had to pull over. I was starting to sweat. I'm like, okay. But I had that same feeling, not that intense. Oh, yeah, not with the nervousness, but that feeling when that lady showed up in my bedroom.
Okay. Well, the same exact thing happened to me when I stayed over at Tracy's place.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling me that she believes that her house is haunted. So I went down and visited her and all that. And I was sleeping on the couch and her cat that passed away the week after.
Aww.
I was like, I had that tingling feeling the whole time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really bad. I've never felt that before, but I was laying there on the couch and her cat was on the table just staring at me like, what is this person doing here?
You're but I had that space human.
I had that tingling feeling all night long. It was so bizarre.
It was probably haunted in there. Maybe it the cat be. Was like watching a spirit. You know what's interesting too is like I felt this many times in my house. Like sometimes I'll be laying in bed or laying on the couch and I feel like somebody is putting their fingers on my forehead like that.
Really?
I'm demonstrating for Joe.
Yeah.
All the time I feel that. It feels like somebody's hands, like their fingers, is on my forehead, which is like really
bizarre.
Strange.
Yeah.
You know, like a mother would check your temperature if you were laying down on the, you know,
yeah.
like your forehead. Oh, I felt it a couple of times.
That's kind of weird.
Like more than like 10 times.
Wow.
But.
Is that your neighbor checking on you?
I don't know, but I felt it before she died.
Oh, okay.
So it could have been maybe somebody else who had lived in the house. Or, you know, maybe it's just somebody, you know, in our family has passed on. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which all goes back to the same thing of the intelligent haunting could be to where the person is trying to put out the message that they're okay or mm-hmm. they're checking on you. Yeah. Or
I've heard stories of people who's come back after they passed away and like shown people like they were looking for the will and like pointed to where it was or let them know where like the key to the safety deposit box was.
That's
or different things like that. It was
definitely
so cool.
Intelligent haunting right there.
How cool would that be, Joe? Like, you know, I mean, like if I died and you wanted my password so you could get in and, you know, update our paranormal podcast
yeah.
page, I'd come back and I'd point to you on my giant page of passwords.
I have them in, I shouldn't be putting this out on the air, but I have them in my computer to where I, because I don't remember them all.
Yeah, but if it's in your computer, how are you going to get into your computer if you can't remember your password?
Like when we go out of town, I always print out lists in case we need them, or I'm kind of weird that way.
You're very type A.
I know.
But that's okay. Being
yeah.
structured and focused and
yep.
you know, that's all right. It's intelligent, Joe.
It's intelligent and it's haunting.
Yes. But yeah, like just think of all the different, you know, situations that have happened where people have encountered this kind of stuff. It's crazy.
There's so many different types of hauntings and,
yeah.
you know, with intelligent haunting,
okay,
it's kind of a neat one because it's obvious that the spirit is trying to communicate with the person.
Well, they know
and,
you.
Yeah. And it's not like poltergeist where they're just trying to freak out, but it's to where they don't know if they're dead, you know, same stuff we talked about, we're babbling, yep. but it's very interesting because it's a situation where you know the person has passed, but yet you see that person and they're trying to tell you something. And that's what an intelligent haunting is.
So if you have an intelligent haunting, but you don't speak the same language, how do you communicate?
I have heard, now...
Sorry, folks, I'm choking and dying over here.
I have heard, and I don't know if it's true or not, but they communicate through psychokinesis or whatever. Where
so does it like translate?
It must.
We have to test this
out. We need to know this stuff before we talk about it.
Well, it's just thought-provoking yeah. questions.
And that's what our show's all about, is get people to think.
Yeah, you know, you do a topic and you talk about it, but then it sparks some other kind of thing. Talk about, you know, poltergeist activity as being intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
What about the demonic energy? Because they seem to know a lot about you. You know, if you have...
Yeah.
I know it's very, very rare. It's like, you know, being struck by lightning 47 times in a row. It's just very rare that it would even happen that you would encounter a...
But there's demon. Stories of people that have, you know.
Sure. They get possessed. They open up portals with their Ouija boards. People, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Some people like them. Some people don't.
That's
but,
why there's not one in this house.
But, okay, so intelligent haunting. What if, say, an ET comes down and they only communicate telepathically? Would they be able to communicate with the spirit that's passed
on?
See, Joe,
wow.
I'm just thinking outside. I just blew his mind.
When we go to the MUFON show, we need
yes!
to ask that.
We oh my gosh.
Got to ask that question.
I didn't even think of that, but we have to.
Yes.
That is interesting.
Write that down so
okay.
that we remember.
So Joe and I are going to Erie, Pennsylvania for, we have a vendor booth there. So you got to come by and say hello. Yeah, but definitely because it's all like.
That's something I've never thought of.
Oh man.
See?
I am more than just this, you know, chubby face.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, it's fascinating to me that that you have these different types of hauntings. You would think everything would be intelligent.
In a way it is, but they have to categorize it so that they can't just put everything together. Yeah. You have to categorize it in different situations, such as the residual does not interact with a person. It just carries on its business to where intelligent actually interacts with specific people. And poltergeist does not. Poltergeist is like a general thing. I mean, it's specific to one person in a way, but it's just different. So they got to categorize things differently. And plus it makes so that we have more stuff to talk about.
Just thinking about, okay, say if it's an intelligent haunting and if it's that intelligent that it knows you're there, can interact with you. I don't know. I just, why could sometimes it appear full body and sometimes it doesn't? Like, it'll move stuff, but why wouldn't you be able to see it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe we do know that it takes a lot of energy for a spirit to manifest or move things or make a sound. Maybe it's doesn't have enough energy to fully become an apparition.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And another thing, too, you think about like Johnny Cake down in the Gill House.
Yeah.
He only appears to people. Well, the only stories I remember is he only appears as a face.
Yeah.
And when he appears to people, now this is, to me, this is more poltergeist, but he appears to people and he comes right up in their faces, like inches from their face and scares them. Now, he's not trying to get them to think of something. He's just trying to scare them. So maybe
he was just an aggressive person in his real life. Because I would think if whatever your personality is in your, you know, earthly plane, you probably take that with you when you go to the other side. I don't think you change.
No, you become the same person as you are.
I'll be chubby in the my other life.
And I'll have this buff body with these muscles and this gun
Arnold
show.
Schwarzenegger. But yeah, I'm excited to like do some real good investigations and see what if we run into residual or intelligent.
Well, we will.
Gettysburg is going to be great because hopefully, knock on wood, we get some kind of evidence when we're there.
Yeah, we will. Just put it out to the spirit realm that we want to see something positive.
Yeah.
No negativity. No negativity.
But it does say if you do encounter an intelligent haunting, you know, just to speak to the spirit, and they say just use like words of peace and compassion and love, because, you know, if you start getting angry with a spirit, it might get angry right back at you.
Oh, yeah, they got more power than us.
Yes, definitely. But, sorry.
That's all right.
I'm getting all choked up, too.
Yeah.
It's probably the change of the 47 seasons in 24 hours.
So I think that we did cover some good stuff on the show today. I know that we didn't get real technical with it because we've talked about it before, and every haunting is pretty much an intelligent haunting if it interacts with you. Mm-hmm. So basically, intelligent haunting is my furnace.
Going on again. It's intelligent. It knows when to turn on.
I was talking and it came on and I went, ah, la, la, la. So, but anyways, folks.
Just to recap that, you know, we're all made of energy and we take that energy with us. And who's to say that we won't come back and try to communicate with other people and try to be more intelligent than we are in this podcast right now?
It happens all the time. As like I said, with the story I had at the beginning of the show, I've heard story after story after story of things that happen. Like you said, with the people with the wills and stuff, it happens all the time. And when that does happen, I know that you had the situation with your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
When it does happen, just stop for a second and think, okay, I have this opportunity to communicate with this spirit realm.
Right.
I know it's hard to, or here I am saying this outside looking in, but don't freak out.
Yeah.
Take a breath and enjoy the moment that it's actually happening, that someone is communicating to you through the other side, and try to communicate back with them.
Yeah. I regret that. I wish I would have, because I don't want to say I was shocked, like shocked, scared, but I was just like, I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And now that, you know, we're in this realm and learning about all this, I just was like, oh gosh, if I only know then what I know now, yeah. I may have been able to communicate mm-hmm. and ask, you know, what's on the other side, or,
yeah.
or how do you feel? Or, you know, who's to say she could even have spoke?
Well, I think that she could have pointed or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, I'm saying, you know, just relax and enjoy the moment. But I know that it probably happened to me. I'd probably freak out. But I also, in my mind, think I want to just tell them it's okay. You can stay around,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. So. If they want to, you know.
They may just be
passing by.
Well, they may feel that that's the thing they have to do before they pass over to the other side.
Yeah.
So once you say, okay, they may just blip out,
mm-hmm.
which is sad if it's a loved one and you're like, you see them and you want them to stay around,
mm-hmm.
but you also have to think about them. They're ready to pass, but they didn't have that final thing that they yeah. wanted to take care of. Once they have that final thing they take care of, it's okay for them to pass over
yeah.
to the other side.
And I think we'll all be reunited at some point. You know, I think we're all energy, and I think when we pass away that we'll all be reunited as one giant ball of energy, and we'll all absorb yeah. into this. I don't know. I just feel like, this is my feeling.
Okay.
Okay, so like when you die, all your people who were in your line before you, like your parents, your grandparents, mm-hmm. your great-grandparents, their grandparents, I think they're all in one. I visualize it as a giant ball of energy.
Okay.
And then when our loved ones come to greet us after we pass on, you'll see them in the form that you remember.
Oh, yeah, you will.
But then you all go into this giant, just mass of white light. That's how I envision it. It may be different for everybody else, but
it might be. And on our show about near death experiences, we're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And that's, I don't want to say 90%, but a lot of the near death experiencers all say the exact thing.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So it's just life's great mystery.
Yeah. Just like the phone vibrating.
Yeah. There's always something weird going on in the studio.
I had to change up the microphone setting.
Mm-hmm.
We have these non-vibration microphones, and mine broke. So I'm using one that's solid. I can tap, tap, tap. So you'll hear the phones vibrate and stuff. But if that happens to you where you see someone appear to you, or that it's a great opportunity to communicate with the other side. So I know that I would probably freak out.
Well,
but
the more it happens, the less you'll freak out.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you're listening to the show, then you're interested in the paranormal. So maybe if it happens, relish that, you know.
Yeah, let us know, too. We'd like to hear, maybe get somebody on our shows, you know, experience this multiple times.
Yeah.
Maybe certain people
are a conduit to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that's what your mediums or your clairvoyance or whatever, but what makes them different from everybody else is something else that we have to explore.
I was just listening to one of the mediums talk, and they said that we all have that in us. We all have that ability
mm-hmm.
to open up to the other side. It's just some people have an easier time than others. So
yeah, And I wonder if it's like that on the other side, too, if it's easier for some people to come back and others can't. Maybe they didn't have a connection. Like, what if you were adopted or you were an orphan and you didn't have any family? Would you still reconnect with your real bloodline? Well, I'm going in a rabbit hole,
folks. That's another one to think about. Oh, that's a big one for a near-death experience one.
Sorry. That wasn't very intelligent, I guess. I don't know. All right. Well, let's wrap it up here, Joe.
Right.
It's time to say goodbye. We hate to say goodbye, but we'll be back next week with something more intelligent. Just kidding. Anyways. All right. So, Joe, Gettysburg.
Yes. We're going to be at Gettysburg, folks.
One week from today, from when you're hearing this show. But anyways, if you get a chance, come out and see Joe, and shake his hand, ask him for his autograph.
Yes.
And he'll sing you a song.
I will be passing out autographs.
Yeah. free mustache tickles.
Let's not go there.
Okay. All right. So, folks, thanks for checking us out.
Yeah. And
listening in.
But, you know, we joke about it a lot. But come out, see us at Gettysburg. Get up on wherever you get your podcasts from. Leave us a positive rating and review. And we will talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, everybody.